Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
First this morning, I'm joined on the line by Peter Burke, Minister for Enterprise, Tourism and Employment and Fine Gael TD for Longford West Meath. Good morning to you, Minister.
Good morning.
We had thought that perhaps housing might end up being the most discussed aspect of your plans, but the thing that is sucking up all of the available political oxygen at the moment is this 1 billion euro that you're going to spend on a lower VAT rate for restaurants, and that's getting all of the attention. How are you justifying such a large cash injection to just one sector?
Well, first of all, the tourism sector is a very important part of the economy. Your listeners will be very much aware that at this point in time, over 200,000 people are employed in it. It's a 9 billion euro sector. And it's so important to try and keep that sector sustainable. We've seen over the last number of years a very significant number of independent small food outlets and coffee shops come under pressure, many restaurants closing their doors. So this is a jobs measure to sustain the employment in that sector, which is critically important to me as Minister and as Minister for Tourism, and critically to get that regional balance, because many of these jobs are located in regional parts of Ireland, and it's so important that we have that growth in those key sectors.
Would you demand any kind of price savings for customers of those shops in exchange for this?
Well, to be fair, I think the sector has been very honest from the very start. This is a stimulus measure. It is a viability measure. They are under significant pressure. We've had a lot of additionality from government part of it over the last 3 years in terms of regulatory requirements in the trajectory to a living wage and sick pay and so many areas that have put significant pressure on the sector and have reduced their margins. And I've been in coffee shops and indeed restaurants where I've seen their margins diminish and some making a very significant loss that they weren't the prior year, considering in many cases their trade and turnover has sustained. So critically, it's very difficult to ask everyone to pass it on, but we need to ensure that we keep the jobs in the first place. And that's the prism I look through when I have a sustainability piece like this. This is to protect all of those over 200,000 jobs, try and grow the sector, because we have a very exciting new tourism plan, which we'll be bringing out in September. Core and part of that will be an all-island food strategy, and also giving Fáilte Ireland the power to develop the restaurant sector as well.
OK, you can't give people a bit of extra tax relief in the middle of a cost of living crisis because you're giving this 1 billion to the hospitality sector. And you can't, from what you're saying there, guarantee that there will be any price saving to their customers. Is this good value for money?
Well, first of all, the best value for money you can have is to sustain jobs. We've learned one thing, this economy, and we've proven it, and we have been almost Teflon as a government on this. We've put 90,000 jobs into the economy over the last 12 months. And considering when we're at or about full employment, to put 90,000 extra households with an additional income into them with more jobs is very significant. We have a huge amount of jobs, almost 600,000 put in since the pandemic. And that's been the premium of this government, because for any household, the route to give you a chance and opportunity to realise your ambition in life is a job. And the more good quality jobs we get into the economy as well, that's what I'm focused on with many of the different sectors we're working on, trying to ensure that we have the building blocks to sustain, you know, the high level of high quality jobs we have in our economy. I would also point out that Summer Economic Statement sets out a tax perimeter of 1.5 billion euros. So there will be hopefully scope there. But we're all very much aware that these come with very significant health warnings, Philip. We know what's happening in the US.
Yeah, we know about that, and we'll come on to that in a moment. Now, look, your analysis about the hospitality sector's difficulties may be right, but there's many other small to medium enterprises in different sectors of the economy that are facing the same labour cost problems, that are, say, facing the same rising input problems as the hospitality sector. They might legitimately wonder why they're being left out of this.
But again, if you look at the evidence, and that's what I'm very focused on as Minister for Enterprise, evidence-based policymaking, about 3/4 of all minimum wage workers reside in hospitality and retail. And those are the sectors that are under significant pressure because a lot of the regulatory changes uniquely impacted on them mostly and really reduce their margins. And that's why we're trying to ensure that they can sustain themselves and ensure that we can continue to grow the sector. And that's why, you know, in terms of the absorption capacity for the tourism we have coming in there, you need a high value offering for those tourists. And that's key to this sector and to sustain the 228,000 jobs.
Okay, come budget time then, if the tariff rate does end up being 15% or more, is the first thing in the drop zone this VAT cut to the hospitality sector?
Well, that would all have to be negotiated with the Minister for Finance and the Minister for Public Expenditure. Obviously, that would be part of the leaders in government too, because we don't know, and there is a big economic cloud hanging over our country. You know, 30% tariffs will be very significant. And I know I've been working very closely with a lot of our exporters. We've had, you know, at this point in time, hundreds of face-to-face meetings with our Enterprise Ireland clients who are exporting. It's about 950 exporting with 60,000 jobs underpinned by them. They're, at this point in time, 20% of the 36 and three quarter billion euro exports we have in that sector. And that's a huge threat. And obviously, in terms of our agri-foods, and we heard about our distillery and drink sector, the pressure it is under, because margins are fine in a lot of those areas. And that will be a big challenge. That will have to be discussed. It's very hard to have a crystal ball and look to the future. But we've been very clear in the general election that our vision that we set out is really dependent upon what happens economically. And that's why it's so important that we get that 16 billion euro by the end of this year in our two sovereign wealth funds, because they are a protection for the future.
Can we move on to the National Development Plan? Opposition criticism, missed opportunity for regional development, so vague it doesn't even rise to the level of a wish list. Why did we not get a list of projects here and the details of what it is that you want to spend this money on, just the amounts of money?
Because firstly, we needed to negotiate the envelope or the ceilings for each department. You'd be very much aware that we had a very significant capital plan, but we wanted to add to that. We had a number of windfalls that have come into the economy. And the critical thing is trying to assess, first of all, chiefly housing, that it gets a very significant, almost 36 billion euro to really bring as many high quality homes that people really need and deserve into the economy. But also the other sectors, we're trying to flesh out as much as we can get for the key areas in our economy. And if everything is a priority, nothing is a priority. And that's why we focused on four key areas in transport, housing, energy and water. Those are the key areas that really allow our economy grow and keep the enterprise economy operating at full tilt. And you will see over the next number of weeks the visualisation of those projects. I know what's core and centre to me. When I was sitting down with Minister Jack Chambers, he had to ask me and I had to justify what I'm looking for. I'm looking for next generation sites, which has the potential to bring in a very significant semiconductor industry. There's about 130 companies operating in that now. They're over 13 billion euro in exports. I'm looking to ensure that we get some money for IPCEs, which are projects of common European interest. We saw analog devices in Limerick. They potentially could have, you know, 600 people employed by that project, bringing new value jobs into our economy. I'm looking to put more money into tourism, I think, which is key to underpin our policy. And obviously, we have our competitive action plan, which I will be publishing in the first week in September. And again, that keeps the economy efficient and, you know, enhances the productive capacity of it.
Focus, as you say, on housing, on transport and energy, big emissions sectors. Is this plan in line with carbon budgets?
Absolutely. And I know in the enterprise economy, it's so important to reduce our carbon emissions. We have a commitment to reduce our carbon emissions by 35% by 2030 and 2018 levels. I have a 300 million euro environmental aid fund currently, which we'll be adding to, which I'm working on at the moment. And you'll see so many lighthouse projects like Diageo, which, you know, is a very iconic brand in Ireland and Guinness's. And it has a transformation project that the state is backing them on. And critically, when it's state money, they will share that right across industry. So we're working so hard in reducing those sectors. And obviously, some are going to be very challenging, Philip, like the cement sector, which is under my own department. But we're using research, development, innovation money to try and see new practices that can reduce carbon emissions.
Wait, when you say absolutely as the first word of your answer to that question, are you telling me that this national development plan will absolutely carry Ireland to a 50% emissions reduction by 2030?
It will absolutely be a key mechanism to do it. There's no guarantees in life, and we have to be honest about that. We've done one thing in this country, which I think is very important, and which was challenged by many economists, is that we've broken the link between economic growth and growing emissions. We've shown that we can sustainably grow our economy as well as reduce emissions. Now, that journey is not quick enough. I think we'd all accept that. We have to ensure that we're very clinical in supporting the areas that can give us that trajectory. And clean, green electricity, like the huge pipeline we have, potentially, you know, 37 gigawatts out to 2040 and 2050 in our offshore renewable. If we get the 5 gigawatts at 2030 or a little after it will be key. Okay. And also people must be, to be aware of that we have 9 gigawatts of solar, 8 gigawatts of onshore wind that we can deliver by 2030 alone. And considering our country uses about 6 gigawatts, that shows that we have a capacity for green, clean electricity as well.
Okay, the industry projections are that we won't reach those targets by 2030. But that is a considerably more qualified answer than your initial very confident, absolutely.
No, we are in my sector. I'm confident in my sector. If I look at my sector, as I said, you know, in terms of our IDA clients, you know, 10 of our IDA clients account for 90% of our emission growth. And, you know, one of those accounts for 70%. And some of those areas, and particularly in the Enterprise Ireland book as well, you know, these are difficult areas, but
they are difficult areas. And you have said that you are going to do your best rather than delivering a cast iron guarantee of being able to deliver.
There's no guarantees in life, Philip. Yeah, I think we're all aware of that.
There aren't. But unfortunately, a failure to deliver a guaranteed cut by 2030 means that Ireland could be facing fines of the order of 12 billion euro. So your next national development programme would be about raising money for fines rather than building houses or railways if you don't get this right.
With the priming finance we are putting in, it won't be Ireland that will be in the dock. It will be a lot of European countries as well if we do not meet those targets. My view is that we will do everything we can to meet them. We've demonstrated capacity that we have a reduction of 23%. We've shown that we can turn the dial, but we need to do it quicker and faster. And I'm the first to absolutely acknowledge that. And that's why I can clinically say to your listeners about the money I'm putting behind environmental aid, which is not predicated on job growth. It's specifically trying to assist companies on that transformation. And for our small local businesses, we have energy efficiency grants and a whole load of sustainability mechanisms to help them through our LEO. So we're working night and day trying to turn the dial in this area.
At the ploughing championships last year, Micheál Martin, as the election campaign had started, said that he wanted to allocate some of the Apple billions to improving water quality to save the nitrates derogation. And then also at the start of that election campaign at the IFA AGM, Simon Harris said that the derogation had to be saved and he wanted to allocate billions to water quality as well. On the face of it, Minister, agriculture's allocation of 300 million euro a year under the National Development Plan suggests that you don't really have a plan to reduce that sector's impact on water quality.
So the first point I would make is agriculture as a department doesn't do major capital works. It's not a capital intensive sector. What we do is we work with, first of all, our common agricultural policy money, which isn't included in this budget here, as well as our capital money. And what we're doing at this point in time is, firstly, we're putting huge money into TAMS. There's an additional 160 million in that area. That's really to go big on slurry storage, which will help support our case to the EU to try and ensure we retain as much of the derogation as we can. We're also working on forestry, which will be key in that sector. The multi-annual financial framework will be negotiated
around 2028. You will agree, though, there is a big difference between 160 million additional funding for TAMS and the billions that Micheál Martin and Simon Harris were talking about during the election campaign.
A lot of that is in other sectors. The critical thing for ag is we have about 1.6 billion euro out to 2030, from 26 to 2030.
That's 320 million a year.
Yeah, 330 million towards the last 2 years, 325 for the previous two, and 315 in 2026. And essentially, what we're trying to focus on there is to do those capital projects. And we all want to improve our water quality, but we all know that Ireland is based on a green-based outdoor livestock sector, which is, you know, very much at a premium in sustainability. You know, we support, in terms of our production, enough food to feed about 50 million people in our economy, which is very significant for Ireland. We want
Minister,
to improve the practices, but we're doing that.
The issue here, though, is that you have until the end of this year to save the nitrates derogation, something that both Taoiseach and Tánaiste promised they were going to deliver on during the election campaign.
Were
farmers wrong to trust them?
Absolutely not, because one of the first things we did was establish a water committee to improve water quality at cabinet subcommittee level. That was one of the key things that Fine Gael required. Secondly, we have put money behind, together with our cap money, to try and target sectors that will improve water quality. And that's one of the things that when we're negotiating cap the last time, that we got a huge amount of money for environmental projects that specifically target the areas that are required by the nitrous derogation. And obviously we have, you know, one of the remaining countries to have this derogation. We have a challenge, but we're very much facing that challenge and working again to provide the evidence how we're changing the dial. And we're working with the EPA IPA as well very closely to mirror where we can put that capital money that's going to in particular parts of the country, make sure that we are in the best place possible to retain our derogation.
Let's just talk briefly about how the Trump tariffs might upend all of this planning. That deal done overnight with Japan and the United States imposes a 15% tariff on Japanese goods. Would it not be prudent at this stage to be doing our projections on the basis of something similar rather than the 0% that you have modelled for at the moment?
Well, first of all, it's very difficult to do a set of projections when you don't know the challenge you're going to meet. And the critical thing here, Philip, is if we were to get 10% or 15%, we don't know what sectors potentially could get carve-outs, if any. So obviously, we have so many important sectors in Ireland that are critical to the US economy, like aircraft leasing, where 65% of all aircraft globally are leased through Ireland, like our semiconductor sector, our life sciences. All those are critical to the success of the US economy. So we're obviously working very closely, feeding into who's leading the negotiations, ensuring that we're best placed to try and get a deal. Because if we don't secure a deal, all bets are off. I think everyone accepts that.
Give people an idea of what it is that we're looking at here. Give me a comparison. Would a 15% tariff be akin to the banking collapse or to what happened in the wake of Lehman Brothers collapse in 2008? Give us a comparison.
Absolutely not. It would not be in any way comparable by that. We know at that time, our debt to GDP ratio went to 120%. And that really showed how bad our economy was. We had to get into IMF to pay our services and try and keep our economy going. They're the lenders of last resort. We have a very strong economic model now. We're putting a lot of money by, but it would be a big challenge. We really would have to try our best insofar as possible to protect capital expenditure. But at 15%, if I was to visualize it for your listeners, you're talking about between 1.5% of a reduction in GDP. You're talking about potentially around 35,000 jobs less created in the economy per annum. That's not in a job losing potentially situation as of yet. But if we go further above that, what it means that if you have companies that, their margin are 15 or 20% are exporting, it means that market is then closed. So anything from 20% and above, I think, causes extraordinary difficulty.
So are you going to be concentrating your efforts in enterprise on pivoting Ireland towards trade with the 27 EU members and elsewhere other than the United States?
Yeah, we're doing a huge amount of work and have been over the last number of months. I've brought a trade diversification strategy to Cabinet. We have, through the EU, 42 trade agreements right around the globe. It covers about 72 countries. And there's a huge amount of opportunity there. And that's why I've been in the Asia-Pacific region, in Japan. We've got a good amount of investment back from that sector. We're going in our Government of Ireland trade mission to Canada. We've that established in the last week of October. That will be led by the Taoiseach. That would be a very significant opportunity. And the Taoiseach, Simon Harris, is working very hard on that diversification plan, which we modelled with his department. And that's key to ensure that we're diversifying. Okay. But also we're very clear that the US is going to be a very important market into the future. And that's why I have already, at this point in time, months when people were even considering this, we have put together a range of supports in Enterprise Ireland in terms of assisting with innovation practices for those who are exporting, looking at strategic consultancy, and also setting up a market discovery fund, which helps them try and hive out that additional opportunity in other markets.
Peter Burke, Minister for Enterprise, Tourism and Employment, thank you very much for talking to us this morning. Coming up next on the programme, should you have to pay to park at the beach?
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.